Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, foreclosure mediation. It's still a hot topic in the Silver State with so many houses threatened with foreclosure. We'll have Jeff Giles and Phil Olson, both attorneys. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Guy Rocha, Trey Abney, and Mindy Elliott. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Jeff Giles of Jeff Giles and Associates, and also attorney Phil Olson, who's a former foreclosure mediator. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir, and you for the first time. And we're going to talk about foreclosure mediation, but Jeff, you wanted to start out helping out Justice Hardesty in terms of what's going on with the lack of an appellate court in the state.
Well, we need a court of appeals here in Nevada. I think I have to agree with him on that. I don't think it's going to cost the taxpayers anything the way they got it structured, at least in planning. And, you know, being a litigator, it's frustrating to have to go over a year to get a decision from the Nevada Supreme Court, which I just did on a case, which was a good decision, but a year was just too long. And if they had a court of appeals, that time could be cut way down. And it's not fair for any of us. And it really is something that the state needs. We're one of the very few states without one.
Okay, but now here's the question, which is, are you prepared to back this idea financially? Because in terms of elections, attorneys contribute to judicial races all the time. Is there not a thought of having the bar associations across the state get together and fund a campaign to explain to the public why they should vote in favor of something
like this? Well, I think that's in process right now. And and it really wouldn't be a lot of public funding involved. The way the court's budget is set up, they can do this out of user fees, and it won't impact the taxpayers. But it's something that is just needed because, you know, these cases take forever to work their way through the system, and it's just not fair. Every other state in the West has got a court of appeals, except us.
All right, let's get to the meat of the matter here. You were a foreclosure mediator when the program started.
That's correct, Sam.
And yet you were forced to step down. What happened?
That's correct. Well, several months into the program, I took a very careful look at the foreclosure mediation law and realized that the law requires foreclosure mediators in certain situations to recommend sanctions against the lenders. And so I started recommending sanctions in certain cases where the law required me to do so, and was informed by the administrator of the program that I was not to do so. In fact, that my recommendations for sanctions were not approved foreclosure mediation program documents, and that I would have to, that I should stop recommending sanctions against banks. For me, the decision was simple. I took an oath when I became a foreclosure mediator to uphold the law. The law told me I was required to prepare and submit petitions and recommendations concerning the imposition of sanctions in these certain cases. So I continued doing so, believing it was my obligation to do so, but then I was terminated from the program without a hearing, without an opportunity to discuss the matter with the court who had appointed me. What really troubles me about it, Sam, is that I now know that in terminating me for recommending sanctions, the foreclosure mediation program was acting on the advice of their outside attorneys, who also happened to be attorneys for Wells Fargo Bank. And in one of the cases, I had recommended sanctions against Wells Fargo. This all happened about 3.5 years ago. But I'm still very involved in the program. I believe that the foreclosure, the idea behind the statute, the law that created the foreclosure mediation program, was a great idea.
Which is
recognizing the crisis that we face, and especially faced, and recognizing that if you can get both of the parties to sit down across a table with the assistance of a trained mediator, get them to roll up their sleeves, look each other in the eyes, and discuss the problem that both parties face, that very often the negotiation process will result in an agreement between the parties that benefits both of them. And the specific objective of this law was to keep Nevadans in their homes. And in many of those situations, one would expect that the parties would find a solution that worked for both of them, keeping the homeowner in his home, and perhaps reducing principal on the debt, perhaps reducing the payments or something along that line that made it economically feasible for the homeowner to keep the home. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. There are a number of problems with the foreclosure mediation program, in my opinion. I think most important to understand this is that statistics released by the program show that in less than 2% of all mediations, the parties actually reach an agreement for a permanent loan modification. The Supreme Court has told us that the goal of these mediations is to achieve a loan modification. And so this is only happening in 2% or actually less than 2% of the cases.
I could jump in here.
I think we've got a filibuster going on here.
Oh, didn't intend that.
If I could just interject, I think one of the problems with the program is they allow the mortgage servicers to appear as representatives of the beneficiary.
Meaning not the owners of the loan.
That's right.
But the people who service the loan.
99% of these loans are owned by REMICs, mortgage-backed securities on Wall Street. They're in pools, they're in trusts, and they hire servicers to represent them and to do things. But there's a tension between the servicer and the owner of the loan in that if the servicer does something that the the owner of the loan doesn't like or breaches the contract between the two of them, then the servicer has to repurchase the loan, and that's a huge loss. So what it is kind of a hot potato arrangement where the servicer is trying to pass the losses off on the real party in interest, the REMIC, and
What's a REMIC?
A real estate mortgage investment conduit. These are these mortgage-backed securities. And the servicers and the counsel for the servicers have been very slick and very clever in getting the courts to believe, oh, yeah, these are the bona fide representatives of the owner of the loan, when in fact they're not. They're really trying to foist the losses off and not experience losses themselves. So that is the problem we face in 80-90% of these cases. Then that's why they don't resolve.
Okay, let's take a break. More on this topic when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation about foreclosure mediations with Jeff Giles and Phil Olson, both attorneys. So there were some changes made during this legislative session. Good or bad? For the homeowners?
Well, this was a retrenchment for the homeowners. The 2009 and 2011 legislatures enacted some pretty pro-consumer laws. The mediation program was started in 2009, and a lot of enhancements were made in 2011, and this was a session where they cut a lot of it back. In fact, one bill that was designed to prevent robo-signing was virtually gutted, and that bill is now in effect. It isn't effective in October like most everything else is, so you'll probably see an increase in the number of foreclosures because this went into effect. There was one good thing on the horizon, and that was the fact that they included judicial foreclosures in the mediation process, which is something that is going to be effective October 1, and if you get a lawsuit-type foreclosure, you would have a right to go to mediation, and that hasn't been the case up until now.
Are the banks doing a better job of behaving themselves, or at least the services?
That's very hard to say. One of the changes.
The banking industry looked very happy during the legislative session.
Yes, they did, and they had a very influential lobbyist there, and were able to get some legislation through that definitely benefits them. And as far as the question whether homeowners won or lost or how it went, there were good things and there were bad things that came out of the legislature this year from the point of view of homeowners, particularly those facing foreclosure. Sure. Last session we had AB 284, which required banks or servicers to demonstrate that they had the right to foreclose at the time when they
filed. To be able to actually produce the notes.
That's right. To state that they had the note and they had the deed of trust in their possession. It turns out that the banks really never followed AB 284 anyway. Most of their affidavits stating that they have this information do not comply with AB 284. They're not based on personal knowledge as required by AB 284. What the banks succeeded in doing this time in AB 300 is change last session's AB 284 so that they no longer need to state under oath based on personal knowledge that they have this information. And AB 300 also contains a giant loophole in that the clerical person signing the affidavit can state, if they don't have the note, can state that nevertheless the bank has the right to foreclose, the right to foreclose. So this is a legal conclusion that's being made by a clerical person, often somewhere like in some place like Louisiana, who has no idea what it means to have the right to foreclose, but they're able to do that and get by.
The banks paid huge fines in the settlement, but they were making so much money, it seemed like it didn't even matter how much money they needed to put in.
Well, that's part of the problem. There's so much money in this business. I mean, so many billions of dollars that the fines and the penalties and the sanctions that get levied against the banks are just the cost of doing business. They don't change their business model, and they go right on doing what they were doing before because it's so profitable. And that is the shocking part of this whole system. I mean, our jurisprudence has been based on the idea that the courts, if they see continued bad behavior, can up the ante on the punishments to get the behavior to stop, and that just doesn't work against the banks. They're too powerful, and you know, there's no way that they can be stopped. It's kind of a juggernaut.
Okay, is there anything the Attorney General of the State of Nevada can do? Because as she said on this program, by the time she got to sign off on the program of penalties, she put it, the cake was already baked. Is there anything that she can do?
Well, probably not now, but the cake bakers in Washington and New York that represent the banks on these things pretty well nullified the good effects of the idea of the lawsuit that was commenced to begin with. For some money, you know, they put some money in the hat, and I've seen clients that have gotten checks for $300 and $500 and $1,000, but, you know, how does that make up for a lost house? You know, the compensation wasn't anywhere near what, you know, the harm was.
And just a very brief answer here.
Sure.
Are we going to see a flood of foreclosures being put through now? Because the market, you know, you're seeing these major corporations coming in and buying tens of thousands of homes across this country as an investment.
A lot of people are predicting a flood of foreclosures. Others say that it won't happen. That last session's AB 284 didn't cause a drop in foreclosures. I've noticed AB 300 became effective June 1st, and foreclosures between May and June in the state of Nevada are down considerably. So. It's hard to say what will happen.
All right. That's where we've got to leave it, gentlemen. Thank you so much. We'll keep our eyes on this. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Hello, my name is Marshall with Marshall Realty, and I want to thank you for making us your number one short sale expert. And if you ever heard the word no from any bank, I promise you, results and a fresh start. Call me today.
Some people say personal injury claims are all about the money. Well, they're right. It is about the money to help salvage a decent life caused by another person's carelessness.
Go lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
It's a beautiful day out here, sunny today with light breezes, giving way to clouds in the afternoon. We could see some light precipitation to moderate precipitation later on, followed by powerful storm-like conditions. 70 miles per hour winds are expected. Authorities are asking everyone, stay indoors.
Come on, that's it. Let's go.
smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Ready or not, here I come.
Take time to be a dad today.
Hi, my name is Marshall with Marshall Realty, and 2013 is a time to take action. There are so many programs that can help homeowners, but a lot of these programs are going to end this year, and they will affect you. So call me today for a free consultation.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I am back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Trey Abney is here, Director of Government Relations for the Chamber, Mindy Elliott, Senior Partner with Forte LLP, and Guy Rocha, the former Nevada State Archivist. So it was interesting this weekend watching General Hayden on the Sunday shows admitting that not only do we spy on other countries, but other countries spy on us. I'm shocked, Guy.
Well, all you can do is look at the history of our nation. You know, I was at Mount Vernon once and enjoyed it very much. And the exhibit regarding George Washington and covert activities and the spies that were reporting to him, giving him an advantage on the British, this is clearly not new. Maybe the technologies and maybe where the line is drawn and as far as what is acceptable and not acceptable. But countries spying on each other is maybe as old as mankind.
To say the least. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, people are upset about the NSC reveals here, but the reality is that anybody who owns a computer that goes online and shops at Amazon or goes on Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever, all your information is already out there.
That's correct. Called cookies and so on and so forth. I mean, it really is.
Do you have any expectation of personal privacy?
You have a choice. You don't have to go online. I mean, I don't do Facebook. I don't do any of that as because of my husband, former life. We don't do any of that. And I think that
right. But you do email.
I do email.
I bet you purchase things online.
I purchase a few items online.
Okay.
Yes.
So profile is out there.
It's out there.
You don't. I mean, when you're in your house, I guess, not talking to anybody else on any kind of electronic device, I guess you have a reasonable expectation of privacy. Reasonable.
I agree. That's probably where the line is.
But that's about it. But, you know,
until the drone shows up outside your house.
Now the EU is mad because I read this morning because they've decided that we've been spying on them in our Washington and our New York and our
in the Brussels offices. I think it's like Casablanca, you know. There's gambling back there?
Well, right. Well, it's like the UN building in New York. You don't think all those offices are bugged and we're listening to everything that goes on in there? I mean, you know, it's happened for decades and decades.
I'll change topics here. The Las Vegas Review-Journal put out an editorial yesterday about the deal that the convention authority was trying to work out with the Service Employees International Union, a five-year deal resulting in about a 14% raise. Mm. And the board members on the financial committee turned this down.
Private sector board members.
Yes, right. And your thoughts on that, and are we going to see a lot of warring going on between unions and government agencies of one kind or another if we're not going to allow five-year contracts anymore?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You saw some warring go on as the economy started to drop because those contracts, you have the evergreen clauses in a lot of them, which means they keep going even if the contracts expire. And so you've seen, you know, you had contracts with 5% raises every year, and they just couldn't do it anymore, local governments especially. And then it kind of quieted. I think the unions kind of saw the writing on the wall, and they were agreed, you know, to cut back and maintain status quo. And now as you're seeing the economy, what we think is starting to pick back up a little bit, I think the unions are coming back as I see. Things are getting better now. It's our turn to get back what we should have gotten over these past couple of years. And so you're going to see that pressure and that conflict start to pick up again.
Guy, how has that been historically?
Well, yeah, I'd have to say historically we haven't had a lot of this in Nevada because our economy was so good for so long. You know, public employees, unions, I mean, really that's a product of, you know, post-1960. And so this state has generally been on the rise. What we just went through was dramatic. And the unions had to capitulate in the face of the revenues not being there. Now that it appears we're starting to show a little prosperity, we're going to have some major confrontations between public unions and the private sector.
I agree. Hey, look at the city of Reno. We have an issue going on with them right now. We have the another $2 million that needs to be funded by the general fund to cover the new starting point with contracts, and the same with the LVCVA. I mean, it's tough. You can't anticipate 5 years out what your revenues are going to be, what it's going to look like. And it's very difficult. The private sector looked at this and said, this is not the way to run business.
Well, and then when times are good, yeah.
Question here, though, is we always talk about stability. And when businesses are going to come to the state, they want to see the tax situation, they want to see public employees, private employees, what the situation is. So isn't it better to have a longer term than a shorter term?
I mean, I guess if you can plan to spend 5% more every year, I guess it's better than, a couple 2% and then jumping up 10% 1 year. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. I think it's better to probably keep status quo, and the fact that the benefit packages are pretty more than reasonable for a lot of local government public employees. I'm not sure we need to keep giving pay raises.
Agree. I mean, we have to be able to plan. When I was on the RCVA board, we had to be able to plan exactly how much money we had, what we're going to do, and we're not planning out 5 years. We try to, but I think the reality is for local governments or even state governments, it's 2 year cycles, even the biennium, it's 2 year legislative cycles. And to try and contract for something other than that, I think that's really poor public policy.
Okay.
Full disclosure, longtime member of AFSCME, but I do recognize the fact that in today's world and dynamics in today's world and a biennial cycle and the rest, 5 years is a long time out. I think there needs to be some compromise.
So it's interesting that now we're looking at relationships with unions and government and private employers more on a cycle of like the stock market, where we're looking at each quarter rather than looking at the long term. That's where we got to leave it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Doc, I dreamed a kangaroo gave me cash.
That's Rapid Roo. With an easy pay installment loan from Rapid Cash, you get more cash than a payday loan.
What do you think, Doc?
I think you went to Rapid Cash.
Love that Rapid Cash.
If you've been injured at work, you need to report it to your employer immediately and seek prompt medical attention. If you have any difficulties, call me. I'm Kathleen Sigurdson.
Are you struggling every month to keep up with your credit card payments? Are you tired of credit card debt piling up? The good news is that there are simple and safe ways to pay down your debt. Through our programs, we can help our clients to consolidate their debt and significantly lower their interest rates and monthly payments. Call the number on your screen now and learn how a debt management program can help change your life. There are no hidden charges and no gimmicks. Just a simple program put together by nonprofit organizations that will work with you and your creditors to give you the fresh start you need. This program is not debt settlement or bankruptcy. Instead, it's a safe and responsible way to simply eliminate your credit card debt. It all starts with a free phone call. Give us a few minutes and learn how you can eliminate the burden of credit card debt today. We're available right now to provide you with a free personalized consultation with no obligation necessary. What are you waiting for? Call now.
Call 800-439-0293.
News 4 is Nevada proud. As America celebrates its independence, News 4 journeys to Washington, D.C. with Nevada veterans, visiting the memorials for the wars in which they fought.
This is one of the greatest things that's happened to me in my life.
Brian Samudio tells their stories of sacrifice all this week on News 4.
Having a root canal?
Uh-huh.
I bet you could use an easy pay installment loan from Rapid Cash that'll get you more cash than a payday loan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he a dentist?
A dentist? No, but he plays one on TV.
Love that Rapid Cash.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast for the whole show, Congressman Mark Amadeus.